This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You recall in the not too distant past, the media swooped down on the southern border and were showing scenes of hundreds, if not thousands, of people migrating across the Rio Grande into the United States. There were drones flying over, video of what was actually happening, stops that were actually being made. And the Biden administration, much like in the aftermath of Katrina that we experienced here, the federal government's response was, we got to remove this blister from the media. We've got to do something that's going to be different. And the Biden administration did. They set up the CBP One app where you could do everything electronically. So you could actually migrate to this country, not necessarily in a legal way, by virtue of filling out an app and get in here. And now the Trump administration seems as though they want to address this. Ira Melman from FAIR joins us. Ira, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Ira, I don't any disagreement with the characterization of what happened in the beginning of CBP One.
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of that CBP One app was to obscure the extent of illegal immigration into the United States. The Biden administration, which at the time was, you know, the president was running for re-election, he understood that those scenes of people pouring across the border in record numbers was not going to bode well for his re-election campaign. But he didn't want to stop it. He just wanted to make it less visible to the American public. And so they created this phone app that said, you know, if you use the app and get an appointment at a border crossing station, we will let you in through the legal port of entry. You're still in the country illegally. You have no business being here. You have no legal eligibility to enter the United States. But they decided they were going to use the power of parole to allow literally millions of people to come across the border, even though they were ineligible to enter the United States. So this was really just an attempt to pull the wool over the American public's eyes. The Trump administration, when they came in on the very first day, canceled the use of the CBP One app. And now they're taking the next step and trying to get those people who came into the United States with the app. As I said, these people are still illegal aliens. They are deportable. And the new administration has decided that these people need to go home.
So the Biden administration waves this magic wand about parole, but I thought parole was to be used sparingly and on an individual case, and that an assessment and a review of each individual case was supposed to be conducted. Right? Wrong?
Exactly. The law was created in 1952, and the intent was, you know, if there were some special circumstances where somebody who was otherwise ineligible to enter the United States, they could be allowed in on a case-by-case basis. It spells that out very clearly in the law. It has to be on a case-by-case basis. It has to serve some compelling national interest or humanitarian interest, and that the stay in the United States is only supposed to be temporary. The Biden administration decided that they could use this law to let anybody in that they want. It didn't have to be on a case-by-case basis. You just showed up with the app, or in the case of four countries, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, they created a special parole program. All you had to be was a citizen of one of those countries, and they were allowing 30,000 people in every single month. Clearly, this was an abuse of the law. We talked about the law is very clear about how it's supposed to be used. They decided they could just do whatever they want. And at one point last year, they were actually allowing more people into the United States under parole than we were granting green cards to people who were coming through the legal process. They basically were making a mockery of the law and getting away with it. And the new administration said, no, you know, we're not going to continue this. And not only that, we are going to reverse what the previous administration had done.
So I would imagine now that we've made this move operationally, how is this going to work? They're notifying people, telling them we intend to deport you. What happens then if they don't self-deport?
Well, you know, they are subject to deportation. You know, if ICE comes and removes them, you know, they give them till a certain date to leave the country on their own. After that, if ICE comes and picks you up and deports you, then it becomes much, much more difficult to ever return to the country in the future. They're also going to revoke the work authorizations, along with all of these millions of people that Biden administration granted parole to. They've also granted work authorizations to these people. So they are out there competing for jobs with Americans. You know, the law of supply and demand says that, you know, if you have lots of people going after the jobs, the price of labor is going to go down. So it's suppressing wages for American workers. So, you know, all of these things have worked against the interests of the American public. Look, I mean, obviously not all of them are going to leave on their own, but there's certainly a clear message being sent that, number one, we're going to be looking for you. Number two, we're going to make it much more difficult for you to remain here because it's going to be harder to have employers hire you. Once that work authorization is revoked, you're not going to be able to get a lot of jobs. Only the most unscrupulous employers will hire you. So you systematically remove all the incentives for people to remain here. And eventually people do get the message, whether they're going to get it immediately or it's going to take a little bit of time. A combination of actively going out and finding people and removing them, plus discouraging them by saying, look, you know, all the reasons that you came here, those are no longer going to exist. It is time for you to go home. And that is what the objective here is. You find people, you remove them. Those people that you don't find, you convince them that there's no point in sticking around.
And what's interesting about these particular cases under the CBP One app, in the manner in which they came in under the parole, there was actually a time limitation that they could stay in the country, right? In that status, if we were to assume that this was legal to begin with, there was a limitation.
Yes, it had to be renewed every 2 years. The objective here was to get them into the country. You know, I guess at the time thought that they would be reelected and be in power for another 4 years, and they could find some other means to allow people to remain in the country. But essentially, they said, we're saying to people, look, you can come here for 2 years, and in that time, see if you can figure out some other reason to be allowed to remain here in the United States. And it's, you know, very likely that had the President Biden been reelected or Kamala Harris been elected, that they would have renewed these 2-year extensions just routinely, much the way they have been doing with temporary protected status. You know, once it's been given, it just gets renewed time and time again, regardless of the circumstances under which it was authorized in the first place. So the objective here was just to get people into the United States, create facts on the ground, because in their estimation, once people got here, it became very, very difficult for them to remove people. You know, at least this administration is endeavoring to do that. They have said, you've got to go home, and if you don't go home, we're going to remove you. If you stay here, we're going to revoke your work authorization. You know, it is not, we're not going to undo the damage of the previous administration all in one fell swoop. But, you know, if you do it little by little, it really does make an impact.
Let's pivot to one of the other parole programs that was set up, because I think the Trump administration is taking this same approach in trying to bring an end to this under the CHNV program, which was Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela parole program. What is the status of that?
Well, as of yesterday, it's been put on hold by a federal judge in Boston. The revocation was announced late March, and the administration said you've got 30 days to leave the United States. Obviously, the advocates for all the people who were let in under that program went to court. They found a favorable judge in Boston who issued a stay on that presidential order. So it's in the courts. But look, there is every reason to believe that the president has the authority to revoke a program that was put in place by his predecessor. If one president has the authority, and he didn't even have the authority, President Biden, to create this, certainly the next president has an equal right to come along and say, I'm changing the policy and I'm revoking it. So, you know, it's inevitable that all of these things wind up in the courts. People, the advocates for the illegal aliens know which judges and which courts to go to try to get some kind of injunction to prevent the administration from carrying out these policies. But, you know, it is going to be reviewed by higher courts. The Trump administration is going to appeal this decision. But eventually, you know, they are going to prevail on the merits because, number one, as we talked about, the previous administration had no legal authority to create this program. And, you know, one president can revoke the policies of another president. There's nothing in law. This was not a law. This was not legislation that brought these people to the country. It was simply a presidential action. And so a new president can reverse those actions.
And parole, what is in law about parole, does not confer legal status, right?
That's correct. You are here. You know, it's kind of a strange twilight zone. You are allowed to be in the country. You have lawful presence in this country, but you're still an illegal alien. And, you know, that doesn't change. Only Congress can change the status of those people through some kind of amnesty. That is not going to happen. So, you know, they're still here illegally. They are here because one administration decided they were going to allow them in. And now you have a new administration that ran on a platform saying we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And they're saying we are sending you home. We are revoking the status and giving you 30 days to leave.
Let me pivot, if you don't mind, to one other case, and I'm sure you know about it. The individual that's in the El Salvadoran prison, Brego Garcia, he is actually El Salvadoran. In a previous immigration, I guess, status review or whatever in court, they granted him the right to stay in this country because of the fear of his life and being deported back to El Salvador roughly 7-8 years ago because he was a member of a gang. And I don't understand how that becomes a protected status in this country, where in that country, your origin country, you choose to be a member of a gang and therefore you fear other gangs wanting to kill you, and you can use that as a justification to stay in this country? Am I reading this right? I mean, it sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, you know, apparently in the estimation of at least one judge, that is the case. But, you know, I think most people would look at this and say, you know, that's kind of crazy that, you know, you should not be able to claim asylum in this country because you're a member of one gang and you're in fear of another gang. Look, you know, when this new administration came to office, one of the first things that the president did was to declare very correctly that some of these transnational gangs are the equivalent of terrorist organizations. And that is one of the reasons he was able to invoke the Alien Enemies Act to expedite the removal of some of these folks. So, yeah, I mean, you're always going to find a judge somewhere who is going to issue some kind of crazy order. But the fact is, you know, there's no justification for allowing people to claim asylum in the United States based on being a member of the wrong gang. And, you know, it may take some time to rectify these things, but we're in the process of doing it. You know, we should not expect that everything is going to be rectified overnight. But clearly, you know, there is a concerted effort now, number one, to look at the status of gangs here in the United States and declare them very, very correctly a threat to the American public and to take steps to remove them.
But what's interesting about all of this, this lawfare, I guess, or lack, you know, I don't know if that's the appropriate term. It is in some cases, maybe not so in others, is really revealing the underbelly of immigration. And a lot of these people are having a difficult time connecting dots here. And the full, not the full plethora of the U.S. Constitution, but major portions of the U.S. Constitution are granted to individuals that came here uninvited, illegally. And, you know, we're jumping through all of these hoops and costing the taxpayer gobs of money in trying to have people play by the rules. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, the previous administration suspended all the rules, and people came here. We saw the result immediately at the onset of the Biden administration. They got the message that the borders were open, that if you came here, you'd be allowed to stay, that we'd grant you parole. You know, despite the fact that the previous administration had no legal authority to do any of those things, you do have people here. There are procedures that have to be followed, but, you know, they have to do something to get people to obey our laws. You know, there are steps that are going to be taken, including convincing people to leave on their own. You know, we have 18.6 million people in the country illegally. It is virtually impossible to find them all and remove them. What we can do is convince them that there's no reason to stay here. You're not going to get a job. You're not going to get access to non-emergency, non-essential public benefits and services. We will be looking for you. All of these things change the mindset. The same mindset that brought people here, oh, now the border's open. We're going to be able to do whatever we want once we get here. If you reverse those expectations, people will respond rationally. Obviously, you know, not all 18.6 million, but, you know, we should not let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Ira, maybe you can clear one thing up for me, and I don't know, from what I've been able to tell with my research, it's clear as mud. If you come to this country illegally, are you entitled to get a Social Security number? I remember, you know, in getting it for my kids, I had to present a birth certificate. And I had to present a birth certificate to prove citizenship, that they were born in this country, and therefore they are a citizen. How are folks that are non-U.S. born illegals getting Social Security? Can they get it? Are they allowed to? Is that legal?
Well, it depends, you know, taking us back to the parole status. The people who were paroled into the country are illegal aliens. However, because they entered with parole, that entitles them to work authorization. And with work authorization comes a Social Security number. So, you know, you do have millions of illegal aliens who do have valid Social Security numbers because of the way the Biden administration allowed them into the country and granted them work authorization. You know, if you just sneak across the border and enter the United States, you're not going to be eligible for parole. But if you use that CBP One app or came in as part of the CHNB parole program or other mechanisms that the Biden administration used to allow people into the country and give them work authorization, then they do have Social Security numbers.
So what happens to all the folks that have been sitting, you know, they filled out the forms, they paid the money, they're fulfilling all of the prerequisites to come to this country? I've interviewed people that have been waiting over 10 years to get in.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, it just seems to me patently unfair of what this administration did by letting people just jump in front of the line and they don't even have a ticket.
It wasn't just under the Biden administration. It's been going on for a long, long time. But essentially, we've been making chumps out of people who are playing by the rules. As you point out, people who play by the rules have to wait sometimes years and years. There are, you know, countless hoops that they have to jump through, whereas people who were just coming across the border were being allowed to stay here in the United States. You know, they were finding all kinds of ways to grant them benefits and work authorization. So, yeah, I mean, we have made a mockery of our own immigration system here in this country for, you know, it goes back way before the Biden administration. The people who really should be bearing the blame for this are, you know, just administration after administration that ignored the rules and essentially sent the message that if you come to the United States illegally, you're going to be rewarded, and at the expense of people who are trying to play by the rules. And that just isn't a fair system. And it's one of the reasons people resent what's going on so much.
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons why our reputation around the world is impaired. We never talk about that, though, right? Because of what we're failing to do.
Yeah. It is our responsibility. You know, we have the authority to control who comes in here, to establish what the conditions are for entering the country. And it's up to us to enforce those rules.
No doubt. Thank you so much for joining us, Ira Melman, media director with FAIR. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.